Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
We will turn Venezuela into that energy, technological, and democracy hub of the Americas. And we count on you. And I see, you know, long for that day, and we will host all of you in a bright, democratic, and free country. And it's going to be soon.
Dave Rasmussen, Swedish Radio. Yesterday, the U.S. seized a ship outside the coast of Venezuela. Would you welcome a U.S. military intervention in Venezuela?
Look, some people talk about invasion in Venezuela, the threat of an invasion in Venezuela, and I answered, Venezuela has been already invaded. We have the Russian agents, we have the Iranian agents, we have terrorist groups such as Hezbollah, Hamas, operating freely in accordance with the regime.
So difficult questions are ahead, and we also agree only Kiev can decide which territorial arrangements it may accept. It would be a mistake to force the Ukrainian president into a peace that his population will not support after 4 years of suffering and dying. So we make it clear to him that we show stamina in our support to Ukraine to reach the goals that we share.
Russia has brought war back to Europe. And we must be prepared for the scale of war our grandparents and great-grandparents. And how is Putin able to continue his war against Ukraine? The answer is China. China is Russia's lifeline. China wants to prevent its ally from losing in Ukraine. Without China's support, Russia could not continue to wage. Today, President Putin is in the empire-building business again. He is throwing everything he has at Ukraine, killing soldiers and civilians, destroying the havens of... I fear that too many are quietly complacent. Too many don't feel the urgency. And too many believe that time is on our side. It is not. The time for action. We are Russia's next target. And we are already in harm's way.
Main focus is to make sure that the alliance as a whole is safe. When I, through that lens, look at the NSS, it clearly states that the U.S. is committed to Europe, to keep Europe safe. The U.S. is committed to NATO, and it also acknowledges that for the whole of the alliance to stay safe, you need a strong cooperation within NATO between the European allies and Canada and the United States. And indeed, as the Chancellor was saying, when you then take a look at the NATO summit in The Hague, it has been President Trump consistently, when he was Trump 45 and now Trump 47, pleading for European allies and Canada to do more. In The Hague, we did. We decided collectively to go to this 5%, including the 3.5% on core defense spending, which equalizes the spending in Europe and Canada with what the U.S. is spending. And this has been since the 1950s, since Eisenhower, a big irritant on the U.S. side. They have always been committed to NATO, but they also had the expectation that we would spend more, that we would at least spend the same as they are doing. Not only because we want all to spend the same, but because we have to do it to reach our capability targets, to make sure that we can fight the Russians if they would attack us. And of course, we also have the huge build-up in China. So you see Europe stepping up. And here again, Germany is taking the lead. The fact that Germany has decided to reach that 3.5% in 2029, 6 years before 2035, is huge. It is a staggering amount of money Germany will spend on its defense, but it is also a clear call to arms for all the others in Europe to do the same. And then when you look at Europe stepping up, we have seen Pearl, which is buying from the US defense base to deliver weapons into Ukraine. Again, Europe and Canada stepping up. We have seen it with the coalition of the willing under European leadership to make sure that when there is peace in Ukraine or a long-term ceasefire, that we can keep Ukraine safe going forward. And then more recently, when you have looked at, when you take a look at the Baltics, what happened there with the cutting of undersea sea cables, when you take a look at the eastern border as a whole with the reckless airspace incursions from Russia. So Baltic Sentry and Eastern Sentry, the names of these two missions. Again, it is Europe, including Germany, delivering the bulk of the troops necessary there, be it air, land, or sea. So I think we are stepping up, and this is what is seen in the US, and this is recognized, and this is exactly what President Trump asked for, and Europe is doing it.
Welcome back to the SCIF. I want you to understand something that's going on here. You need to see the big picture. After World War II, we rebuilt Europe. The Marshall Plan, we've defended them for decades. We've spent trillions. We've had lots of troops in Europe, defended them against the Soviet Union. But something happened. Something happened to Europe. And I think there's whatever ism you want to call it, globalism, Nazism, communism, essentially, it's totalitarianism has reared its ugly head in Europe and has taken over Europe. And they tried and may still achieve taking over the United States and make us all slaves. So that is what's going on. The Fourth Reich is here, whatever you want to call it. What you're seeing out of Germany, the country that we defended for decades, saying we are the enemy. Wake up, guys. We're on our own, okay? The faster Trump can get out of NATO and get out of the Ukraine war, the better. Because what they want, you see right there, NATO needs a war with Russia. Why do they need a war with Russia? If you know Martin Armstrong, listen to his recent interview on this subject. He said, look, their economies are failing. They've destroyed their own countries. They need a war. And this is a cycle. It's pattern recognition, right? Go back to World War I, World War II, the forever wars. They need a war to reset, to maintain power, to take our eye off the ball. And you know what? Let's not fall for it this time. Let's not get dragged into a war, a global war with Russia. Russia can't even take Donbass, East Ukraine. It's been how many years? It's been a 14-year war, or 12-year war, but it really kicked off in 2022. So that's almost 4 years ago. They still haven't taken Donbass, Eastern Ukraine. How are they going to take Europe with all of NATO's armies? It's a joke. They want to maintain their own sovereignty, and I'm not pro-Putin. I'm just pro-history and pro-truth. So this is what you need to realize, okay? So we rebuilt Germany. We defended them. They've been grifting off Western civilization for decades, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. Something really dark is going on in Europe, and we need to get the hell out. I want to say hello to the crew in the chat. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for everything going on early. Really appreciate that. I want to highlight one of our best followers, D. Good morning. Thank you, D. Always love the comments. Really appreciate it. And Amy Williams and all the crew, Super Buff Shaft, they're all in here. So really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Got a hell of a show for you today. Chris Gleason, our election weekly deal. We're going to run through the elections because we got real, real problems here, guys. And we need the Trump administration to get on board and fix it. Chris Gleason is going to talk about that. Second hour, I've got Tom Teague, and we're going to talk markets, financial markets, the Fed, everything that happened there. And then I've got some surprises later in the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Skiff.
Celebrate our newest launch, Rev 7. I'm bringing you an amazing introductory offer, plus an exclusive overstock sale that you're not going to want to miss. Rev 7 is our premium energy drink that tastes great and gives you energy all day with no jitters and no crashes. That's because there's no sugar and no caffeine. I'm so sure you're going to love Rev 7 that for a limited time, you can try our three-pack absolutely free. Or check out our Percale bed sheets. I can't believe I'm even going to say this. Every color, every style, every size, only $29.88. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save 20% on our Rev 7 12-packs or try our introductory 3-pack absolutely free. And our Percale bed sheets, all sizes, only $29.88. Even the queens and kings. Inventory is extremely limited, so order now.
Pandemic, we can never be caught unprepared again. And so many Americans, when COVID hit, they had nothing in the house. Stores were shut down, and doctor's offices were shut down. And even if doctors prescribed drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, pharmacists wouldn't fill the prescriptions. That was a nightmare.
Now the situation is much worse. We have these horrible supply chain problems. In our emergency medical kit at the wellness company, we have 8 prescription drugs that are all potentially life-saving.
Most people died with COVID. They died in the hospital because they didn't receive early treatment.
Every American family should have one of these.
I can tell you the wellness company kit is the answer.
So welcome back to the Skiff. I want to go through the mission brief. Today is December 11th. Christmas is coming, and we're going to talk about a lot of Christmas gifts on the show today. But here's your mission brief. Australia bans social media for youth. Why is that? There's only one reason. Of course, they're saying it's for the children in Hillary Clinton-like style, but we'll talk about that. Mindich assassination attempt in Israel. This was Zelensky's wallet is his nickname, who fled Israel with $100 million. We'll dig into what's going on there. An oil tanker seized off the coast of Venezuela. A lot to talk about there. Fed cut. What else? Tom Teague will fill us in. And Serbian geopolitical drama. A lot going on. Talking about Christmas, I want to just highlight one of our sponsors there, the Wellness Company. This is the emergency travel kit. I travel all the time with this bad boy. It's got everything you need. If you get a tick bite, if you get sick, if you get traveler's disease, if you get whatever, a cut, it's all there. It's got amoxicillin, azithromycin, doxycycline, metronidazole, trimethoprim, ivermectin, and others. Anything that happens, you got it right there at twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM. Check it out. Take care of your family. The plandemic is coming, the next one, because what are they going to do, right? If we're winning, so what are they going to do? This is the contagion emergency kit. If you got, for the next viral, it's got the steroids, the nebulizer, all of it in there. So check it out, twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM. And with that, I'm going to bring in Chris Gleason, and let's talk election fraud. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, doing great, Todd. How are you?
I really appreciate you coming on and committing to doing this weekly, because we got to fix the elections. And we're going to throw this interview on the Miami Independent later today. But what are the priorities right now, Chris? What's happening? We just had elections in Miami.
Nothing has been fixed. Nothing's been addressed. And, that's the big problem, right? So we identified a great deal of fraud in 2020, 2022, 2024. We're seeing it go on today in 2025, and we can expect it to continue into 2026. We're not getting really any help here in Florida. It doesn't appear to be any kind of a priority. And I think that the election results in Palm Beach County and in Miami should be a wake-up call. And because this same pattern is what we saw everywhere else in the country in November, right? Yeah. Democrats, you know, they won everywhere. It's not because they're winning the ideological war, okay, because their ideas are a failure. And, you know, so what is it? Well, we know for a fact, because we've been looking at the government's own data, that there's still a huge issue with vote by mail fraud. And, you know, we're trying to hold people accountable. And
didn't Trump put out an executive order on that or something? I mean, what happened there?
Well, you know, the president can issue out as many executive orders as he wants, but the insurrectionist judges, they can, you know, put the kibosh on that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of lawfare going on. And so realistically, what needs to happen is, you know, we need the people to get involved. You know, Trump may have won, you know, the 2024 election, but this isn't over. And, you know, we can see already, right, that the do-nothing Congress and the do-nothing Senate are blocking, you know, this America First agenda, the agenda that the American people wanted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we see it everywhere with the lack of confirmation of his appointees, right? He can't get a U.S. attorney appointed anywhere and confirmed, right? And, you know, is that by design? Is that the deep state, you know, preventing him from implementing the agenda that the American people voted for, you know? So we have to, you know, we're fighting here in Florida. And despite not getting any help, I mean, and this is going on in the president's backyard, you know, yeah. Palm Beach yeah. County.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of vote by mail fraud there in all of the elections. Trump didn't even win in Palm Beach County, you know, allegedly, right? I mean, yeah. he really did, but the fraud was so overwhelming in Palm Beach County that he didn't win. And nothing there has been fixed. So Maria Zach, her race, you know, she lost ostensibly through vote by mail ballots. We have identified a fair amount of impossible ballots that were sent out or requested, mm-hmm. then sent out, received, and then they came back, and then they were cast. And we have boots on the ground there, and they're telling us, no, you know, these voters, these people, they're saying that they did not actually receive a vote by mail ballot. They did not cast them. And according to the United States Postal Service's own documents, their own data, there's no way that these people should have even received vote by mail ballots. So we have things like properties classified as vacant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that would mean that somebody has not received mail at this address for, you know, 90 plus days.
Yeah.
So if somebody isn't receiving mail at a particular address for 90 plus days, why would they request a vote by mail ballot to that address? And if they did, how would they receive it? And, you know, so there's a lot. We've pretty much narrowed it down at this point here in Florida. We did that here in Seminole, the city of Seminole election. We did it in the 2024. We did it now here again. And we have massive numbers of vote-by-mail ballots being sent out to undeliverable as addressed addresses, and they're being magically returned. So, you know, we've been talking with the U.S. Postal Service criminal inspectors, and essentially we've laid it out for them. We said, you know, look, it's pretty clear what's going on here, according to the government's own data. Either somebody at the Postal Service is harvesting these and casting them, or somebody at the Supervisor of Elections office is harvesting them and casting them. Yeah. But the true voters of these ballots are not receiving them, and they're not casting them. And largely, we believe that they're not even requesting them either.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's, I mean, we saw this similar pattern in Miami-Dade in 2024 in both the primary and general elections. And, you know, I think we're going to see it again if the brakes don't get put down on this. Yeah. So this is the uniparty striking back, you know.
So any response from DOJ or any interaction or any, you know, are they alive or are they?
I mean, they're on Twitter all the time. They don't like to answer emails. I haven't been invited to go talk to them despite everything that I've done. But, you know, they're not focused right now on Florida for some reason. You know what? You know, they feel that Florida is secure.
Well, just for our audience's sake, you know, let's play a game here. I mean, if you want to know who's really serious about fixing our elections, just list all the outlets that Chris Gleason goes on regularly and talks about election fraud. So, he's not on War Room. He's not on Gateway. He's not on Breitbart. Conservative Inc. doesn't like you, Chris. Why would that be?
Because I'm very effective at what I do. I know. And I'm not controllable.
Yes, I know that.
Because too. I follow the truth, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's about the truth. And, you know, I mean, unfortunately, I'm doing the work of the DOJ and FBI, and I'm not getting paid to do it, sadly.
You're doing the work of CBS, NBC, CNN, all that.
Yeah, you know.
Your pain, brother.
Yeah. So, I mean, and because I, you know, a large amount of the content that I do post on X is election related and fraud related, suppression algorithm is strong.
Yeah. And we're in that force with you too.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
like right now we've got tens of thousands of, you know, across multiple accounts that we stream on X, and we got 43 people watching on X, you know, hundreds on Rumble and Getter, thousands on Getter, but, on X, not so much.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What else? What else people need to know?
So you gotta get involved locally here, and people really have to start voting in the primaries. You have to, because nobody's coming to save us. Okay, it's us. It's we the people, and you know we have to overwhelm them at the polls, and you have to overwhelm them locally, because local action yields national results. And, you know, we're doing our best to fight this fight, but we need help. We can't do it by ourselves, you know, and frankly, a lot of the election integrity folks nationwide, you know, a lot of them burnt out because they've been fighting this fight, you know, with little, you know, we get some successes here and there. You know, we had some great success with at least President Trump acknowledging our work with the executive orders, you know, with the Act Blue smurfing, which, by the way, nobody in DOJ seems to have been doing anything on that. What about yet. That?
They're all over that, right? I mean, we've seen arrests, we've seen, you know, grand jury indictments, all of that, right? I mean,
that's not so much. But
I'm going to give Kash Patel a shirt. You know, my son was wearing it around. He's down in Florida, and he had it's a small sapling, and below it says sapling. It's happening. I'm going to give Kash Patel that shirt. what else, my friend?
So, you know, get involved. I mean, you got to get off the pickleball court. You got to get off the golf course, and you got to get involved locally. We need more grassroots candidates. I mean, that's a real thing, because, you know, a lot of the machines candidates, they're being installed to take votes away in these primaries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but we need good people. And honestly, I believe that this next election, based on the things that we're doing here in Florida and nationwide, this is probably going to be an opportunity for real grassroots candidates to mm-hmm. actually be able to matter, because of the things that we're doing in the courts to ensure that certain laws are being followed. And
they know you're looking. I mean, and so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to end up creating more legislation to
prevent the Chris Gleason Act in Florida.
The Florida Chris Gleason Act. Election
Integrity Act. Chris Gleason can no longer be on X.
I mean, it is comical. That just goes to show you how effective we are, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they have to create new laws to hide the data that we use to catch them breaking the law, you know, that means you're doing something right.
Right there with you. We did have a small success in Georgia yesterday. The state election board made the attorney for Fulton County, I believe, admit that there was no certified election in 2020 in Fulton County, because none of the tabulator tapes were certified. So, well, for the early votes.
Realistically, yeah. You know, based on the government's own data and their government's own evidence, we have not had a legally administered or legally certified election in Florida in quite some time, any election. So, you know, I guess the question, right, that mm-hmm. everybody really needs to be asking really about Georgia, right, is why hasn't the DOJ gone in? Why hasn't the FBI gone in and seized all the data? Why have they not seized the hard drives? Why have they not swept in and done this in Georgia? Yeah. Why have they not done this?
Supposedly in the Fulton County warehouse, you know. Ed Martin, I guess, requested them, and Fulton County said no. So there we go. That's it. No more. No more to see here.
Well, you know, maybe a federal judge, a brave federal judge, would issue out an order to the U.S. Marshals if the DOJ were to, say, I don't know, file an emergency injunction.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I did stay at a Holiday Inn once. But I do know that, you know, there's a lot of mechanisms that could be deployed if there was the will to do it.
Would you loan DOJ your realtruth.ai system so that they could put these briefs together, Chris?
You know, we could. You know, we really could. I mean, it would, you know, we're, and by the way, we've made some massive improvements to it. Mm-hmm. And we've got some new boxes that are being installed, and you know, they're going to know about it soon enough. So,
wow. Well, how do people help you, Chris? What do you need right now? What do you need?
What do I need? Well, we could use some new users, some beta testers on realtruth.ai.
Okay.
We could use some folks supporting Bonji over in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. So tinyurl.com/helpBonji. That would be helpful. And we need people to tune into the mind.
B-O-N-G-I, right?
B-O-N-G-I, yep. Yeah. B-O-N-G-I. And stay tuned here at the Miami Independent, because there's going to be some really big announcements coming related to federal candidates for the upcoming election and a whole slew of really important filings that are going to start happening.
Outstanding. Look forward to it. Chris, thank you very much, my friend. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for having me on, Todd. Appreciate it.
Well, in the case of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, these are two medications that have been FDA approved for use in humans for decades. Mm-hmm. They are very, very inexpensive, interestingly available over the counter in almost every other country other than the US and Canada. Yeah. You can just walk into a pharmacy and buy them like we buy Tylenol in much of the world because they're that safe. And we've known for decades that ivermectin has very strong antiviral properties. It has anti-inflammatory properties. And both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are what we call zinc ionophores. They help to move zinc from the bloodstream into the cell, which is where it needs to be in order to fight off a virus. So lots of application for these. And we have every reason to believe that those drugs also will likely have some efficacy against H5N1 or a number of other respiratory viruses that we may meet down the road.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually. And keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it. Fill out the form for your contact info. And Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you. Welcome back to the skiff. This, my friends, is a silver round. When we, and by the way, I still got the cast on probably another month or so. But so we started talking about this with Advisor Metals, Ira Bashatsky, several years ago, and silver was at $23 an ounce. I remember him saying, this is worth $23. If you need to go out and, you know, the grid goes down and you need to wash your car and you need how to, some method of paying the guy, you can say, hey, this is worth $23, take it and pay for your car wash. Well, this is now $62 as of last night. We've been talking about precious metals for some time. If you've got a portfolio, you need to protect your assets. We are in a very difficult period financially. The whole system's going to be reset. So put some of your assets in an asset class that has held its value for thousands of years. CDMmetals.com, if you go there and fill out the form, the contact form, Ira Bashatsky at Advisor Metals will contact you. And it's, I guarantee you, it's an easy conversation. He's an easy guy to talk to. It's not a hard sales pitch. Just have a conversation. And if it's a good fit, great. And he can help you put some, you know, assets that are in fiat currency now, maybe in precious metals, or your retirement plan, your IRA that's got, you know, your whole life's work in it. Why not protect it as we go into these difficult times? So go to cdmmetals.com, fill it out, and you can talk with Ira Bashatsky. Let's talk about some stories. German media calls the U.S. the enemy. NATO pushes for war with Russia. I mentioned this in the beginning of the show. This is what's going on, guys. You need to be aware of this. This is what's happening. They're calling the U.S. the enemy. This is always going to happen. We're getting to the end game here. They need another war to stay in power, to continue the grift. They've destroyed and stolen everything in Europe. And they need a war to reset and to gain resources in Russia, a lot of other things. You know, we're not pro-Russia, but we're definitely pro-truth and anti-war. So check this article out. You need to know about it. It's on cdm.press. Here's another one. Australians ban social media accounts for children under 16. This is, why would they do this? Because they don't want the younger generations to know, because they want to make them slaves. What the internet has done is changed the dynamic. You can't start World War I and World War II with Gulf of Tonkin incidents or, you know, Pearl Harbor incidents, false flags, if you can't control the narrative. You have to convince the public that the narrative is true, that, you know, Putin wants war with Russia, even though he doesn't have an army big enough to, with Europe, even though he doesn't have an army big enough to do it. So this is all the former British colonies, which there's a whole nother rabbit hole you can go down there, what the king and the admiralty is up to, pushing for the war in Ukraine. They're not our special relationship. That's another myth. They've infiltrated our country. They're using intelligence. Our intelligence agencies are working with them to destroy the American dream. So they need to shut down social media, and it's going to come here if we let it. So this is why the elections and Chris Gleason are so important. This one, Kolomoisky in court, who's the oligarch in Ukraine, said there was an assassination attempt against Timur Mendic, who is, his nickname is Zelensky's wallet. He fled Ukraine to Israel and is now in hiding in Israel with $100 million or so that he was accused of stealing. So he was, there's a Kolomoisky saying there was an assassination attempt in Israel. That's, we haven't any other confirmation of that, but that's what Kolomoisky said in court in Kyiv. Here, you saw the helos in the beginning. By the way, we'll be at the Pentagon Monday, so we'll be reporting Monday morning out of the Pentagon. But U.S. boards and seizes sanctioned oil tanker off the coast of Venezuela. You saw the Hilo video in the beginning. I got a surprise for you in the end of that community that I used to fly with. It was kind of interesting to see that. Hilo-borne ship assaults, fast roping down on the deck. Used to do that at night on goggles and in bad seas, landing on ships, etc. So I know a lot about that. But this details the oil tanker seizure, and we'll report more as we get more information out of the authorities. Here, we'll talk about this with Tom Teague in the second hour. Fed cut 25 basis points and is starting to buy short-term bonds. What does it all mean? What is the Fed doing? Is Powell a lame duck? All of that is going to be discussed in the second hour with Tom Teague. So now I want to play, let me find it here. I want to play our new edition of Eurobytes that just came out couple days ago. We're trying to get caught up on these, but here is our good friend, which is Eurobytes. This is Christian Gieb out of the UK, but he's a German, and the other two guys are not there, but this is a really good 17 minutes on what's happening in Europe.
So welcome to this episode of Eurobytes of Sunday, the 7th of December, 2025. And this extraordinary year is coming to an end at a gigantic pace. So much having happened that we never thought possible. I want to hone in, and as you will have recognized by now, it's me alone. Do not worry, the previous format of Eurobyte is not dead. We're just rejiggling our schedules of being dads, having new jobs, you know.
Let me just say that he screwed up the video when he was recording this. It's not our fault, so you'll just have to bear with him being small on this. Sorry about that.
Actual jobs in the private or at least productive economy. It becomes more and more challenging syncing our agendas, but we're going to do that soon, and you will see Eurobytes very, very soon in the previous format with Fabian Lucas, myself, and our generous host, L. Todd Wood. So, but today, once more, you just have to except me, just myself, as little innocent me as the commentator soliloquying about certain things. And I'm going to hone in on two issues, which are essentially the same issue, two different sides of the same medal, meaning censorship and bullying in the democratic process, and both in Scotland and Germany. Now, those who tuned in last week of you will remember that the youth organization of the German quote-unquote far-right AfD reconstituted after its previous organization had to be shut down because one of our most potent internal spy agencies, the Constitutional Protection Agency, said it was certified that they were far-right. And so there's another new reconstitution, and as you might remember from last week, Antifa descended in force on that conference in the lovely student town of Gießen and blockaded roads, attacked AfD members, and every now and then the police did crack down on that, but now that gradually the fog of war lifts, in a lot of ways that appeared, and there was lots of talk of police brutality against Antifa, but now that the fog of war is lifting, we're seeing, yes, the police in certain areas did actually do something about the attacks on the conference of a party being part of the democratic process. But in a lot of side streets, country roads and such were blocked, he said, in essence by Antifa without the police doing anything about it or being able to do anything about it. And there were conference participants who reported that they traveled in from a nearby town, and something that ordinarily would be a 25-minute drive, a 15-minute drive, well, took them 11 hours to evade all the Antifa roadblocks, and a lot of other quote-unquote civilians were caught up in that. And that's always when you can tell that a state is in crisis, when it can no longer enforce the law, when it can no longer protect its subjects. And you know, rightfully, people are asking, what is it actually that we're paying the state for? What is it actually that the state has been entrusted with the monopoly of force? And mind you, the monopoly of force is a lot higher in Europe, where we're talking about a largely disarmed population. Unlike in the United States, where you always have the Second Amendment to fall back when the First Amendment fails. But we don't have that. And so the media echo on the attacks on the party conference are as predictable as they're boring. So the CDU, remember our conservative party, reported that in their estimation, the AfD youth organizers had provoked that reaction by Antifa by hosting the conference. They exercised the legitimate democratic right to host such a conference, but that was a provocation. So, okay, that's an interesting take on generally how democracy is run in general and in Germany in particular. But another interesting take was by Germany's Süddeutsche Zeitung, the southern German newspaper, which is our version of The Guardian, insufferably liberal, insufferably Karen-like, if the top 50% of public Karens in the United States had a media outlet, it would be The Guardian or would be the Süddeutsche Zeitung. And the Süddeutsche Zeitung had interesting takes, other than saying constantly before this party conference, saying how dangerous this was, and we cannot tolerate this, and how can we turn a blind eye on this? It's happening again, and all of that. But they had a couple of interesting takes as well, so showing that we're not only losing these days, we might actually be slowly winning. And the Süddeutsche Zeitung had a remarkable statement saying, after 10 years in which we tried to get basically correct views and societal policies through woke has failed. I mean, we were basically right. We just used the wrong means. And the whole identitarianism also was not good. I mean, we all tried to do the right thing, but how we went about it, we might have alienated a lot of people. Like, well, who thought it? Like telling men that their basic innate. And pushing all kind of other agendas. Well, if your kid who cannot legally get a tattoo decides to change his gender, then by all means, you're a terrible person and a fascist if you try to prevent your kid from doing that, and you should be reported to the authorities. Well, who would have thought that that would create a certain backlash and that none of the mainstream parties spoke out against it? So that's suddenly a party that the mainstream, and particularly the mainstream newspapers like Karen Incorporated, the Süddeutsche Zeitung, did not like that this party would thrive. Well, who would have thought? And speaking about free speech and generally a lot of quote-unquote democratic newspaper outlets, democratic parties speaking about blocking party conferences and prohibiting parties, because we have to save democracy by prohibiting parties and preventing their gathering. Well, living in Scotland is probably the most challenging part of the UK when it comes to free speech and when it comes to blockading a new party on the horizon. And I live in an idyllic Scottish village, and there is an even more idyllic country pub with direct view onto the water, onto the North Sea. And that pub was going to host a small gathering of the local chapter of Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party, which, well, you guessed it, is characterized as far right. Whereas if you actually look, Nigel Farage is such a boomer, and it's painful. He's an old Thatcherite. So hardly far right. And, you know, his number two is of Bangladeshi origin, and this party is hardly far right. Other than, well, they're speaking about mass deportations now of people who are illegally in the country, which is not far right in the rest of the world, not far right in 99.99999% of human history, but it's deemed far right. If people in mass enter your country uninvited and consuming a lot of resources and committing crime at rates far above the level of the native population that you think about deporting them en masse, well, that is deemed far right. Well, interesting enough, in our village, there is a village Facebook group where you get all kind of good news, like, oh, there's an interesting country fair going on, or there is a pop-up shop for home-baked cakes or whatever. Interesting stuff. And then suddenly somebody posted there had been leaflets in a nearby town distributed by Reform. Ooh. And they said they're going to use that bucolic country pop to host the conference. And then suddenly you saw mostly all the Karens descending on it, sort of, we cannot turn a blind eye on this. And this is such an inclusive and nice pub. And therefore, because it's so inclusive and nice, we need to prevent certain people from meeting there. And obviously, some valiant villagers that pointed out, well, didn't you just say it was valiant and nice, valiant and welcoming to all, but not to them? And then obviously people jump on that, and, well, we cannot be tolerant against the intolerant. And, you know, you've heard it all before. So end of the story, that particular gathering did not take place. The village pub, pubs have it difficult enough in the United Kingdom with Labour ratcheting up minimum wage and inflicting all kind of taxes and regulation on pubs, so that pub didn't have any stomach of facing a boycott or protesting people and said, look, it's not for us. Interesting enough, when you looked at that Facebook group, what is always a remarkable but unsurprising feature of the left is they always pretend being the friend of the working, friend of the little guy. And the nearby town where they distributed the leaflets that made people aware that this gathering was going to take place is, well, I think has the reputation of being a rough place, whereas I think it's mostly unearned. Some parts of that town have rough areas, but the people are still great. But it's got other really nice areas, but it's probably more working class than the village where I live, where it's half the people have moved from bigger cities and have very urban occupations, government positions and such. And then in the comments was like, of course, in such and such town, of course, that's where they're distributing the leaflets. So there was this classicism, that snobbism, again in there by these open and inclusive mainstream leftists against actual working people when they air their grievances. Oh, no, 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 of course it's those naughty fellas again. That was an interesting bit. At the same time, I mean, you know, given that smaller places, villages are much closer than, say, suburbia or the cities, I want to say a thing that the people who instigated against the reform meeting there, I mean, I know many of them, and they're terrific people. They're nice people. But if you're being prepped by certain media, well, all mainstream media outlets, be that the BBC that essentially has to force people to pay for it, or be that the Guardian that tells you that fascism is around the door at any minute, well, of course you're going to move against that. And what we must not forget as part of our movement, we live in their world, in the mainstream world, and we know what they think. We actually like most people, but they don't live in our world. They don't read our publications. They don't listen to CD media, even though I wish they did. And therefore, it's a lot easier for them to be misled that the other side are terrific, whilst we know, by and large, that even the most annoying Karens, most of them are actually good people. Not all, but most of them. And most of the people in that group that said, well, we can't turn a blind eye on them, they're well-meaning. They're good people. I like them. And so therefore, our job is just communicating, holding podcasts like this. And never forget that they have never heard our sort of arguments. They've only heard the strawman argument, the simplified version. They're hateful people, and they don't like foreigners, and they don't like poor people, which, you know, that couldn't be further away from the truth. And yeah, I leave you with that thought. I mean, there is probably a very biblical tape, love thy enemy. I'm not going to use that for Antifa. I'm sorry, there are limits to that saying. But well, no, actually, I mean, there are a lot of the decent people who prevented in a misguided but well-meaning way the reform gathering aren't the enemy. They try to do what they've been told is right, and hopefully they're going to discover alternative narratives to what the Guardian and the BBC and God knows what other rubbish papers or media products they consume. And with that, I leave you. I think very often it is easy that our movement in Germany, in Scotland and the UK can become quite negative, but ultimately we come from a place of love, and even if we're being attacked, we should try not to hate the other side unless they actually viciously attack us. Well, even then we shouldn't hate them. We should just do what we need to defend ourselves. But we must not forget that the vast majority of the other side are good people of the what we come to consider the civilian. It's the hardcore ideologues that are well-funded by government money, like the BBC extorted government money from poor pensioners, and the likes of George Soros and such, and the Open Society Foundation. But watch this space. Interesting things are happening in Europe, when even the German version of the Guardian is saying woke has failed. We need to be a bit more careful. And the next couple of weeks, hopefully, Fabian, Lucas and I will have synchronized our schedule and have a gathering, and interesting stuff is happening. We have proudly seen our kind host of the show, L. Todd Wood, being in the briefing room of the Pentagon and asking the right question about what's actually going on in the Caribbean. Is another war at the horizon? Wasn't that what we kind of voted against? And more stories about the outrageous censorship, where a woman had been assaulted by a man, I believe of migrant background, physically assaulted, texted to a friend of hers that this F word, not the F word, but the F word that's often used as a slur against gay people. And again, in CD media, we don't like slurs, we don't use slurs, but you know that the slur that I'm referring to a person who's punched you in the face by the F word, is understandable. But that woman's house was raided, think, I believe it was somewhere in England, by 11 policemen as she was taking a bath. And none of the policemen made any moves to leave the bathroom immediately after seeing that there was a lady in the bathroom by herself. Thought nothing wrong about, you know, watching over her. And that's kind of what we're dealing with. Hopefully, the governments, as they're failing, they're increasingly totalitarian tendencies, will be embarrassed by these kind of things, by these kind of excesses happening. And let's stay optimistic in spite of a lot of our movement facing such unnecessary hardship. Remember to like the other people and try to make our case valiantly, calmly, and hopefully transport to them that what they hear is the straw man version, straw woman version, as they would admonish me now. You have a lovely Sunday. We're going to be back with tons of interesting topics from Germany, the United Kingdom, elsewhere in Europe. And well, have a blessed week and see you soon. Thank you.
I'm a naturopathic doctor. We are in the world of medicine very acquainted with many modalities, but probably the one most familiar with everybody would be two things: homeopathy and herbals or herbs, mm-hmm. maybe some nutrients too, you know, vitamins, minerals, that kind of thing. Now, we do know a lot about the drugs because we have to find out what drug you're taking affects you and what nutrient it depletes you of, because they, most every drug pharmacy product will deplete something. So we have been trained and we have a database that we can check into that says, this is going to take your B12 away. The pharmaceutical company cannot patent organic substances made by the body. You're not born short of Advil. You know, you're not born short of Ritalin.
Yeah.
You can be born short of insulin, right? Mm-hmm. The answers to staying healthy and keeping away from even SARS or any of those things getting into you is staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You and I get sick because our terrain gets out of balance. Well, that's the same thing in the soil. You and I are made from this thing called dirt. And when we get out of balance, we have the same thing happen. Weeds start to grow in our body. Right? And that's what we want in our body. We want nutrients that we don't understand how to get well enough yet, because our suppliers are lacking knowledge and nutrient density foods. So
this is what drove you to develop this, was your knowledge of this, right?
Right. You know that.
Excited to announce that we're having a huge sale on Overstock and brand new products. For example, MyPillow Percale bed sheets, every color, every style, every size, only $29.88. Our Percale bed sheets are breathable, cool, and crisp, and they're perfect for spring and summer. And check out Rev 7, the next generation of energy drinks. It tastes great, and it gives you energy all day with no jitters and no crashes. Best of all, it's actually good for you. And for a limited time, try our 3-pack absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save 20% on our Rev 7 12-packs, or try our introductory 3-pack absolutely free. And our Percale bed sheets, all sizes, only $29.88. Twin size, full size, queen size, king sizes, all $29.88. Inventory is extremely limited at this price, so order now.
Welcome back to the Skiff. Christmas is coming, so go to MyPillow.com, use promo code CDM, get the best discounts. Spend some time on the website. Don't go to, I won't even name the names. Don't go to the big box retailers. Go to MyPillow.com and buy from Mike before you go buy somewhere else. All the stuff's made in China and it doesn't work very long. Doesn't work very well. It doesn't last very long. So MyPillow.com, towels, bedding, clothing, dog products, slippers, all kind of stuff. Just, it's really good stuff. And the mattress toppers are my favorite. But go to MyPillow.com, use promo code CDM for your Christmas gifts, because Christmas, got to get those orders in now, because what's today, the 11th? Got 2 weeks. Also, Nucleo Boost. We talk about this a lot. It's how we keep going. No matter what, we have all the nutrients we need at the cellular level in our body. You can use the powder or the capsules that I take on the road. Great stocking stuffer, cdmnutrition.com. Check out the subscriptions, because that's cheaper, but it's everything you need. You don't need all these different pills. You just need Nucleo Boost to get all the nutrition into your cells with the BioAloe. It works. It helps us. I've been using it for a year now, and I can tell you it's fantastic. So now I have a treat for you. Tom Teague's going to come in. He's in the green room, and we're going to talk. What's going on with the Fed? How you doing, Tom?
Good. How are you?
Oh, man, busy. Busy. It's Thursday. I'm looking forward to the weekend. But
you and me both.
What happened yesterday with the Fed?
Well, they cut 25 basis points. They announced that they were effectively going to start buying more bonds. I think that surprised the market on the upside, which is a good thing. The press conference turned out to be, I think, a little bit more dovish than what people thought. So initially markets were kind of sketchy, and then they rallied into the close yesterday. Sold off just before the close, but they were still up. I think what's happening right now, I think the bigger picture is there's, you know, as you normally, when the Fed cuts rates, mm-hmm. it takes a while for that to feed out to the economy. Mm-hmm. If the Fed comes out after the rate cut and then gives a presser like he did yesterday, and they sound very dovish, the market starts taking like a view that there's going to be further rate cuts, and they're going to at least move in a direction over time. And then sort of the animal spirits take over, and the markets start doing better, and companies start hiring and start their CapEx back up, and, you know, these kind of things. I don't know if we're quite there yet, because my version of Powell's dovish is still fairly hawkish. Yeah. I don't like the way, and I've made this point clear before, but I don't think Powell, I think he's not a trained economist, but B, I don't think any of these guys have any clue about the way things are going. And the country's so divided along the political spectrum that, you know, there's people that want the economy to go in recession so they can shut Trump down in the midterms. Yeah. And I think a lot of these people in the Fed are minded like that. They believe in a very different, you know, philosophy on the way the Fed should perform and what they should be doing, like the DEI stuff and wealth redistribution. And so, you know, but I think what's happening is the chairman's only got like three more meetings. And I think people will start looking forward. And as we move forward, like another month or two, mm-hmm. we'll be closer to that happening. And I think people are going to, you know, are going to start waking up and saying, you know, actually, there's going to be a lot of arrows in the Fed's quiver to deal with the current problems we have. Bonds are still way too wide. I know a lot of people think the curve's going to get really steep, and it could, but I think also the way the bond distribution is shaped, the way that our Treasury's been borrowing, it's very front end loaded. So further rate cuts are going to decrease very quickly the amount of interest that we have to pay on our debt.
That's an interesting point, because, you know, I always screaming for years while I was on the street, you know, why don't we issue 100-year bonds at zero?
Well, we should have when yeah. Yellen did not do that. And that was yeah. a huge, colossal mistake on her part. And I, you know, and again, like, people tolerate this stuff with, I mean, these people in the Fed are the most important people that we have probably in government, mm-hmm. right? That are not elected. They're the most important bureaucrats. So if they mess things up, they should be held accountable and their feet should be on the fire. And they have been. But Yellen, when she was Treasury Secretary, went out probably at the behest of the Chinese because they saw what was coming. They saw the inflation that they were causing by not up and jamming up the supply chain. She decided to borrow everything in the front end. That's the opposite of what you want to do in that situation when we had rates really low, near historical lows during COVID. Right.
Yeah.
Have done everything in the back end and you get
it's the Lehman Brothers way of doing business. You know?
So. It's there's no excuse for that.
Why not finance the U.S. government overnight repos? You know,
it's the right. Same. Right. Well, I mean, one of the things, you know, I've heard some people, I respect Stanley Druckenmiller tremendously. Mm-hmm. And he really like excoriated her for that. He was like, mm-hmm. you know, this is one of the biggest, you know, mess screw ups that we've had by the Treasury in a long time. Bessent said the same thing, but what Bessent's doing is actually smart. He's taking advantage of that now. Mm. And so my view is, rightly or wrongly, as we start cutting rates, you're going to have people that are forced to go into the back end of the curve to get yield. As long as inflation's not, you know, a problem. I don't think it's going to be a problem. And I think the reason that it's sticky is because, frankly, they raised rates too quickly in the first place. They should have gone to a neutral stance. What they did is they ended up making working capital more expensive. So to get the supply chain back to pre-COVID levels, you can't do that if working capital is excessively expensive.
Yeah.
And that this is like a new phenomenon. This is like something we haven't had a Fed that tampers with markets and with rates the way these guys do. And you know, I'm sort of the view that the Fed should be mostly neutral and they should be here to stop bad crisis type stuff, not create them. And that's what I think Powell's legacy will be. He's the guy.
They've done that throughout the decades.
Don't need.
Yeah, they've done that through the decades, you know, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. But I think we have a more extreme version of it now than we probably ever had.
So they're buying bonds. Is that right?
Well, short term, the Treasury is definitely buying some of the longer dated bonds where the yields are high, because the way that bonds work, for people who don't know, is the higher the yield, the lower the price from issue. So there's a lot of bonds that are trading at big discounts. And that's one of the benefits of selling into the long end when you need to raise money during really like low inflationary, low growth times, because they could have. Some of these bonds are trading at 50 cents on the dollar or near that from where they were issued. If you buy those back, it's gone.
Right.
Like that 50% of that bond, you don't have to repay it.
So on that specific debt instrument, you know, let's say it's a $1,000 bond. I mean, that you've wiped away $500 of debt for the U.S.
That's correct.
Government,
that's right? Correct.
Yeah.
You do have to roll it into wherever existing interest rates are, but that's only temporary, because if you think about what the Fed's doing now, they're lowering rates again. So then that more expensive coupon cost that you would have when you retire that debt, you have to borrow the money to repay or to get to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Rates are going to come down. And so you'll end up paying less coupon over time. So, and I think, but I think it's for me, it's a very good sign. I feel good about this Fed. I like the way that a lot of these guys are thinking. I think, you know, there was a dissent from Mirren yesterday. He basically wanted 50 basis points cut. And then Goolsbee, who is a good guy, but he's very much a Democrat. He was in the Obama administration, and Schmidt, who's the Kansas City chairman, voted for no rate cut. I think that's just bonkers personally. But, you know, looking at their projections for where core PCE is going to be in the next year, it's still not meaningfully above 2%. So I think like worrying about 30 basis points on PCE is splitting hairs. I mean, it's a joke. There's a bigger problem, and that's that small businesses are laying off people, and the economy outside of AI, which you can't count on forever, is slowing down. There's also going to be, you know, they're worried about tariffs in the future and the inflationary impact, which has not happened. But, you know, what about the productivity increases we're going to get from AI? And what about the job losses that are potentially going to come from AI? Yeah. So, you know, those are very deflationary things out in the future. And the Fed should be more thinking about that than they should be like short-term tariff nonsense that hasn't even materialized.
So you mentioned AI. What are your thoughts on the whole NVIDIA situation with China?
Well, look, the reality is, if we sell chips to someone, how are we going to police that they don't sell those chips to China? I mean, that's just the reality. Weapon systems are a little different, right? Like, you just trust that these guys that we sell weapon systems to are not going to give them to China, right? Or they'd be cut off from us forever. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people not to sell chips into China anyways. And I think NVIDIA's view, and I think, you know, and I agree with it, is you want our architecture to be driving AI globally. If you force China to then go and invest a ton of money in chips themselves, then there's going to be a competing, you know, architecture there that we have to worry about, and we have to struggle with on a global basis. And we want our AI to be run by our chips that we design in this country. And we're frankly way ahead of China. So I think Jensen Huang's view of we need to sell China stuff so that we can grow this thing together, more or less. It's not just a greed thing, is the bottom line for me. He's not like, we need to do it just so I can make more money. It's a question of like, do we really want them to be spending a lot of money developing chips or just using ours? And that's very much the way they play things in China, right?
So meaning they
so they try to dominate the global markets with like their production, and then they own the whole system. We're just doing that to them, right?
Yeah, interesting. What about the housing market? A lot of talk that it's soft, et cetera. What are your thoughts?
Well, Home Depot came out this week on, I think it was Tuesday, and they were saying that they're seeing, you know, some serious headwinds. Larger projects are being put on the back burner. It's no surprise. It, you know, mortgages are at 6%. I think you need mortgages to be at 5%, and I hope we get there sort of between now and June next year. I think we might. I think bonds have a big rally built in them at this point. And, you know, as I described earlier, I think, you know, further rate cuts are going to force people into the longer end of the curve, and that's going to definitely help with mortgage rates. So I think that's a big hold off. Housing's like 16% of our economy. So, you know, it's a really important thing. But since yesterday, housing stocks have had a huge bounce. So that's kind of encouraging. I don't think the home builders themselves are carrying as much inventory as they have been in down cycles before. So that's also good for those stocks. And they're really kind of beat up.
Where do you see value right now?
I think I see value in more of the cyclical stuff. I think that, you know, you have to be a little bit careful because, you know, if we have like, you know, some tough numbers, we've got a lot of data that's going to come out between now and the next Fed meeting. I think if you see unemployment tick up, I think you're going to probably have a bigger chance. Right now, it's about 20% for a rate cut in January. And they're saying there's no rate cut being promised, but that happened, you know, a month ago or more. I think the value is definitely in housing. I think that will start getting better. I think you have to watch interest rates, but as interest rates come in, and they should, I think that'll be good. You know, there's a lot of geopolitical stuff going on that hasn't helped our bond markets. Japan has sold off. Europe is just a disaster area right now. I'm concerned about headwinds from Europe. You know, they're making promises they can't keep to their own people. They're prosecuting people this week. I just caught a little bit of your conversation before, but this week the German government basically said that the AfD would not be able to run in mayoral elections unless they swore an oath to the democratic principles, whatever
prevailing that narrative.
Yeah, it's a total joke. And I think you know, I think there was a big gamble in Europe, which they didn't think was a big gamble, but you know, I think they thought that Russia would be an easy pushover, which a lot of people have thought that, and it didn't work out well for them
throughout history. Yes,
a lot of Europeans, in fact. And you know, Russia's coming out of this thing with a better GDP. They're also, they've got a lot of land. I don't think there's really any chance outside of a miracle that Ukraine regains Donbass, and there's a lot of mineral wealth there. So Russia's going to keep that. There's ethnically Russian people there. So the reality is that's probably what's going to happen. And I think Europe loses out big. They were like licking their chops thinking they were going to get cheap resources that they were basically going to steal, pay for at a very cheap price from Ukraine and Russia if Putin were gone.
1991,
you know? Yeah, correct. It's a joke. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. And Putin is a populist, and, you know, like him or not, he is looking out for the best interests of the Russian people. He might be looking out for himself too, but that's, you know, that's part of the deal. But I think he is looking out for the best interests of the Russian people. And I don't think he's going to roll over and just sell the West resources at the wrong price and be had.
Just wait till they get that Bering Straits highway built, man. I mean,
that would be phenomenal, personally.
It's going to be a whole brave new world.
I think longer term, I think, you know, I don't want war with anybody. And it's really, really concerning to me that you have all these, like, I don't want to describe it in a derogatory way, but you have all these, like, war hawks who are anything but people who should be involved in war running Europe. Yes. These are people that want someone else to do it for them and think that they can just push buttons and win victories. And if you look at this conflict between Ukraine, if we've learned anything, all of that technology that we were supposed to be giving Ukraine that was going to work well, that entire like theory of the theater of battle got flipped on its head.
Yes.
All of a sudden, like, you know, artillery made a big difference. All of a sudden, the amount of people that you could throw at it made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And especially with Russia and their know-how after this event, it's not smart to be poking the bear. I mean, it really isn't. And I think Europe has no idea, especially after the last two wars in the last century, we don't need another 100 million people killed.
I think they do have an idea. I think they want it. This is, you know, and I'll call
them. I definitely think they want it. I recounted this story to some of my friends this morning. One of the first battles in the U.S. Civil War was the Battle of the First Bull Run, Manassas Junction.
Yeah, yeah.
And people thought that it was going to be like this, like, party, and they brought out, like, theater spectacles, and they brought out picnics, and they brought out champagne to watch it. And they were overwhelmed by the savagery of war, and they all couldn't get back to D.C. because.
Yeah. In fact, the reason the Southern troops didn't take D.C. is because they helped all the ladies get on their carriages.
Right, right, right.
Seriously.
So, you know, Southern gentlemen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that these people have no idea what they're pushing for. And if you really want to see a collapse of Europe in the European system, start a war with Russia and see how that works out for you. And I think America has zero business being in a war with people who are agitating for a war with the biggest power, or you know, the second, third biggest power in the world. It just doesn't matter. That's, you know, it's not a gamble that you want to make. The sort of payoffs that you get are not worth the consequences of it going wrong.
Well, unless you're a globalist who wants to destroy the society and take over full power. I mean, I think that's what it's about, along with the resources. But
well, the last time Russia rolled into Europe, they didn't leave for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and Europe was under the Soviet, evil Soviet empire for quite some time. So I think it's a massive mistake to tempt fate.
Well, you could make the argument that the old Bolsheviks are who's in Western Europe now.
I think that's clear. Yeah, these guys are Bolsheviks. And like, I don't want my allies to be people who arrest people for Facebook posts.
That's what we've been screaming about.
Yeah. These people in Europe have destroyed their energy policies, any energy independence they could have ever had. They've destroyed it. They've destroyed their industrial power. They've destroyed their societies with immigration and crime rates. They've destroyed everything with COVID, vaccines, you name it. They've done a terrible job administering the European Union, and they should pay for it.
Have you seen what's coming out of like MERS and Macron and you know, Starmer? I think MERS was saying yesterday, it's America first is fine, but America alone is unacceptable to us. I mean, who the hell are they to say that kind of crap?
Yeah, it's interesting to me that after we have literally been their military umbrella for so long and afforded them the ability to create these dystopian socialist benefit systems, and they haven't been paying at all what they should have been paying all along for it, that now they're yelling at us. But, you know, Ukraine's doing the same thing. They're making kill lists with people they don't like in America because we're not giving them enough money, and they've stole like 30% of what we've given them. I mean, that's a complete joke.
I think I'm on that list. I get lots of that kind of mail. Well, so I heard a little bird. You might be on CDTV in the future.
Yes.
He told me.
Yep. Working on
We're building CDM business. I think Tom Teague's going to be the anchor podcast on economics. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Likewise.
Anything else, Tom?
I just hope we get this Christmas rally.
Yeah.
You know, hope is not a great strategy, but, you know, I think we've got each day we have a clearer picture on how the Fed's going to react. And I think we've got good guys that are coming in. And I think Powell has been terrible for the Fed, terrible for the U.S. economy overall. And I think that there's some rays of sunshine peeking through with the future.
Looking forward to it. Tom, thank you, man. Merry Christmas. Man.
Take care. Take care.
My friends gain more and more weight, and then eventually I got to tell you, this is a little dark, but a bad diet literally killed my whole crew.
Wow.
Diabetes, a stroke, I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's like, you had a stroke? You're not even 50 years old. You guys got to quit eating this stuff. Your body knows what's what. You're not conscious of this. But that's why people will go to the refrigerator and they'll grab this and that and the other and put together this outrageously elaborate combination of foods. Your body's trying to reach balance. Unbeknownst to us, our bodies are always trying to reach homeostasis. You can't eat all of this stuff and expect to live a long time. And one thing led to another, and I went, you know, forget this, we're going to make our own product. So we partnered with one of the world's top three biochemists where nutrition specific study is concerned. I said, all I want is the best nutritional immune support product in the world. So we mix it in yogurt. It's a powder. I got a bag of it here. I keep one on the console all the time, you know, just so I can show people.
Yeah.
And it's a powder. Now, this is not candy. This is hardcore nutrition. And sugar is an enemy. And most people do not know that the reason these bellies are showing up on people all over the place, your body makes fat to store the toxins it can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. So it just puts them over here. But I can tell you this. You take this for 30 days and then lay off of it for 2 or 3 days, and you'll go, good grief, give me some more. Skin, nails, hair growing back. Cut yourself and it heals in half the time.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, an investment advisory practice. I've been an advisor for nearly 30 years, and one of the questions I get asked most frequently is, do I have enough money relative to other people my age? And while that's an interesting question, it's also the wrong question. The right question is do you have enough money to sustain your lifestyle for the rest of your life? This is a question you should know the answer to. This is what we do. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
We have foot, clog. Clogging over Africa, foot, clogging over Africa, boot, moving up and down again. There's no discharge in the war. 7, 6, 11.
Welcome back to the Skiff, Christmas Gifts. Check out my book, Currency. It's available anywhere books are sold. This is a re-release by History of Books of the first novel in the Connor Murray series. So you can find this anywhere. You can get signed copies, I believe, at historybooks.com. But if you love history, if you love geopolitics, if you love finance, if you love pirates, it's a great read. The two comments I get are, I stayed up all night and it should be a movie. So we're working on the movie thing. Anyway. It's a great series. I think you'll love it. It's highly prescient, and you'll learn a lot. All the whole series is highly prescient. You read the whole series, you know, you'd be like, wow, you wrote that before it all happened. And so, yes, Check out Currency by L. Todd Wood. Okay, I've got a treat for you, and then I'm gonna roll right to the close of the show after this. But you saw the Hilo video in the beginning. That's what I used to do. Fast roping, special forces SEALs onto boats and other areas, delivering, special operations troops to their objectives. I'm going to play a video. I don't talk about this much, but I was very honored to fly with it. It's just a dynasty of pilots flying the MH-53J Pablo, doing this original mission before the Army took it over for the Air Force, from the Air Force, and now Task Force 160, the Army Special Operations Aviation Regiment does the job. But we were there in the beginning for the long-range insertion extraction, and proud of that heritage. And I just want to play this, and we'll roll right to the close of the show after this. So hope you enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow on the Skiff, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, Eastern. Matt Gaetz tomorrow, by the way. By the way, we're on podcast. Let me come back to you. We're on podcast. We're on YouTube. We load the show. We're on Getter. We're on X, multiple channels. We are all over. Please tell people about the show. We need to get bigger. We are getting bigger. Added 300 or 400 on our X channel, CDM underscore press. Please, if you haven't signed up for our YouTube, do that now. Go to CDM on YouTube and subscribe. Same with our Rumble, CDM1, and my X at Real L. Todd Wood. So hope you enjoy this. We'll roll right to the end after this. And hold on, let me get it set up real quick. Hope you enjoy, and we'll see you next time. Sometimes I